This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We're going to talk about the Braves coming up here in 15 minutes. We got some questions. Maybe Grant can help us answer some of this stuff because Spencer Strider was terrible last night. And this has been a trend. He allowed 7 runs, 10 hits, struck out 2 through 3 innings of work. That is not the Spencer Strider that we've become accustomed to. He has been a struggle bus here as of late, specifically in the month of August. And as I said, I think this goes back to the beginning of the year when I was not impressed, Mike, and said, he's not the same. And guys said, give him time, give him time, give him time. Mike, we're at the end of the season. How much more time do we need to say when Spencer Strider is going to finally look like the guy he did? And now I got to go back 2 seasons ago.
Yeah. Did you have to get the Tommy John surgery? They went for the brace surgery, which is different. Is the recovery time for that going to take you all the way back to a full year? And the expectations for some Braves fans are way too high. We talked about that earlier. I think it's something we did tell you back in the spring. If you're counting on Spencer Strider to bounce back to, you know, 2023 Spencer Strider, I think you're maybe barking up the wrong tree. I don't think he can't get back to it. But that's why I was just arguing with Carl, getting a kick out of me, arguing with a guy on Twitter. I said, how does Rick Kranitz is the only guy that can ever be the pitching coach for the Braves? I mean, seriously, how do you not even entertain that question? You know, I know there's a super high fail rate. We're getting to this with Grant, but the fail rate for young pitchers. But what is the average rate of success for a young pitcher coming up through the Braves system? Pretty freaking bad. You know, I would change approaches across the board. But getting back to him, maybe it's going to take a while. I mean, some guys under you said, hey, he should just be a closer. I saw the big article from CJ Nikowski put up big metrics and big numbers that you can take a look at. He's on CJ's Twitter page about the slider accuracy is killing him right now. No control of the slider.
Yeah, and the reason why, and this is long term, it could be as early as next year, but maybe it's 2 or 3 years away, depending on if he's able to bounce back. But I think Strider, with his velocity, has the ability to close and be a really good one. The fact of the matter is right now, it's placement. It's not his velocity. I keep hearing guys, oh, well, he was throwing 99, now he's throwing 97. Guys, if you've ever seen a 97 or 99-mile-per-hour ball at you, there's really no difference. It is, can I put it where I need to put it? And he's not been able to do that consistently. More on this coming up in less than 10 minutes. Mike, let's talk about our Falcons, because as we prepare for the final preseason game against the Cowboys on Friday, by the way, all of the action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, which offensive player do you believe in the most? Which offensive player, know right now,
pick me.
Do you believe in the most?
Pick me.
Who?
Bijan. Bijan Robinson. Believe in him the most. Bijan's most proven. I mean, Drake would be right there behind him, but I think Bijan's a guy that he can make something out of nothing. We've seen him do it. You know, whether it's, you know, catching pass out of the backfield, the open field, this guy just, he makes people miss. He's a stud.
Yeah, and for me, you know, I'm going to say it's Drake, because Drake did what he did with not as talented quarterbacks. And now he's got a really talented one. He had one last year until he didn't. And I think his ability, and I've said this about some of these wide receivers, like either you can just go make plays or you don't. I don't want to hear about the quarterback and how bad he was. I said this, Brock Bowers, go look at his numbers and then go look at his quarterbacks last year. Either you are that dude, and I think Drake has shown he can be that dude, but how much more can he be with a guy like Penix throwing him in the ball, Mike, and looking for him as frequently as it seems like he has in camp? One of the things we're talking about as far as the Falcons offense, and we've been discussing different aspects of things all day, but, Mike, everybody seems to be high on Ryan Neuzel. We talked to him. We liked him. We really didn't know a lot about him, guys, last year, because he just kind of stepped in there and did his job. And Mike and I said, look, Ryan, we didn't talk about you at all last season.
Which is a good thing to, you know, not be saying, man, Neusel's getting blown up, the holding penalties. I mean, he's a center. You know, you are the captain of that O-line, all the things, you know, all the assignments. I keep calling out this and that before pre-snap, and it's a lot of responsibility. But this is a guy who has grinded and grinded with this team, you know, from practice squad and, you know, undrafted free agent, and then all the way to being a starter and stepping right in to getting himself a nice 2-year extension. So we have confidence in him. They've got confidence in the O-line. He's surrounded by two of the best guards in the league.
Yep.
Lindstrom is proven, and right behind him is Bergeron, who's right there.
Yeah, it's funny because when we start talking about players that you believe in, sometimes it could be a guy like Neusel who is kind of just that unspoken guy. Look, we don't talk about Jake a lot because Jake's just out there, right? The other guy that we probably talk about on the O-line is Lindstrom because he's getting notoriety, right? He's finally, people are recognized. He's a Pro Bowl caliber, all-pro kind of guard, and he's been paid as such. But then there are these guys like Neusel, Mike, where you know what? Maybe it's a guy like this that snaps the ball every play. He's got to get it to Michael Penix and is the center of our defense. He cannot get pushed around because if he does, that's when this thing collapses. He's got a big role this season.
Right. And one thing, you know, it's funny. Haven't noticed it. One thing I have noticed, and it did happen in the scrimmage against Tennessee, bad snaps. Got to get the ball up there in Penix's hands.
Low snaps.
Yes. Take it from me, Carla. Now, for all the things I say in the radio, this is one thing I do know about.
All right.
I was a long snapper.
Okay.
Yes, the one thing I did, never got the uniform dirty. But anyway, getting the ball up to the quarterback's hands. Because when Penix has to go down below, you're already off a count get up there, see the field, get your feet, footwork going.
I agree.
He's got to be better at that.
No, you're right. And it's something we didn't discuss. You're right about that. I saw it a couple of times myself. Penix made the adjustment. It ended up not hurting us, but you continuously do that, and it will, and it also throws off, Mike said it, the timing. 404-726-0929. I want you to hear our offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, talking about how he feels the first team offense has had, the kind of, you know, camp that they've had so far.
It's been a really, really encouraging camp, especially from the ones. Like I said, they're getting a ton of good work, and then the twos just got to keep building and keep stacking to see, you know, who ultimately ends up making this roster. And the practice squad is, as you guys know, I mean, those guys are going to be called upon at some point this season, so those guys are just as important.
You feel like the first team has had a really good camp? Because I do. I feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's been glaringly awful when you see the second team offensive line out there at times, which gives us a lot of pause. I mean, just keeping it real, and you saw that in that first half. Boy, it was tough at times against the Titans on Friday night. That would be one area, if you're looking for anything against Dallas, it'll be all the backups trying to make the 53-man roster. How much can these guys assert themselves at tackle, guard, that are going to be backing up? Because, you know, knock wood, 16, we kept everybody clean. But there's always injuries. That's why I like Storm Norton. Storm Norton was able to come in as a swing guy and kind of replace, you know, whether it was Caleb McGarry or anybody else. But that's just an area of concern because O-line depth, just like anything else, like pitching, you never have enough.
No, you cannot. On the defensive side, Zach Harrison was asked about Michael Penix. We were just talking about offense today, and you know, again, where we're at heading into this last preseason game, you're not going to see a lot of these guys. Mike and I will get into a little bit later on this hour. Burrow played last night. Jaden Daniels played. We're seeing more and more quarterbacks finish the season up. And a bunch of guys named starters around the NFL. And we'll tell you what the Saints are doing. Stay tuned for that. But here's Zach Harrison, Mike, talking about Penix and what he's seen from Michael Penix so far.
You know, I feel like he's really taking control of the offense and the team. You know, he's, you know, guys know Mike's out there like, all right, that's Mike. Like, we're going out there. He's going out there to make plays, you know. And I trust him. You know, I think our team trusts him. You know, the tangibles is what they are. You know, Mike's a great quarterback and put the ball anywhere. But, you know, the intangibles, I feel like he's taking the next step on, you know, really being a leader. He's not too outspoken, but when he speaks, people listen.
Right. Leads by example. Gets the job done. You don't play. Hey, man, our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter. Thanks, Mike and Carl. He has an article out today. We were just talking about the secondary. D is of the opinion Falcons appear set to open the season with Xavier Watts next to Jesse Bates at safety. So, you know, you talked about that earlier in the show. But rookie Billy Bowman, according to D, making a late training camp push to unseat D. Alford in that nickel package.
So Xavier, I think, has earned the opportunity to be the starting safety next to Jesse. Jesse's talked about him in glowing terms as far as, like, kind of being like him, student of the game, very astute as far as, like, paying attention to the little things. That's what makes Jesse great. I mean, there's a lot of athletic safeties in the league, Mike, but it's those little things that just make him amazing. Okay, I'm cool with that. You cool with the corners, right? Are you cool with the corners? Because if this is what we're – because, by the way, now you're starting to set up your rotations, right?
Right.
This is what we're talking about. Like, now you're saying, all right, third and long, nickel, dime, whatever. These are the guys that more likely are going to be in there. First down, this is maybe what we're going to look like. And you're starting to figure out some of these rotations.
Right. Clark Phillips has been dealing with an injury, so that hurts him a little bit. Pardon the pun. C.J. Henderson, we picked up. Now, I don't know if he's going to make the team, because right now they got him third.
No.
Third string. He's a guy that's been injured too much, even though he was drafted ahead of A.J. Terrell back in the day. So with the corners, you're looking at Lamar Jackson, Natron Brooks. Both guys have had a decent camp from what we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But you just worry about, you know, is Mike Hughes going to be able to, you know, he's 44th according to PFF. Clark Phillips, we like this, you know, we like the spirit of the guy, but I don't believe in Clark Phillips anymore.
Okay.
I don't.
Well,
Day-Day, two undersized.
He's been limited, too. He's been limited, and I don't know how much that's going to hurt him. Was it a hammy, I think it was?
Yeah. I mean, he has been injured. I know the size has always kind of been the knock on him.
I love his fighting spirit.
But the dog in him, I think, really kind of gives him an advantage.
Oh, so are you saying we're just going to go bigger?
Well, I mean, C.J. Henderson just was a body added for depth on a one-year deal, pennies on the dollar. I don't know if we haven't been in camp to see what he's doing.
No.
So according to D-Led, though, they do love what they are getting from some of the younger guys. So Watts, you know, again, he was tied for the lead in career interceptions at Notre Dame.
He's a stud, man.
And we've talked so much about, what we got from Bowman. We liked his energy. Bowman offered Mike Ford the main competitors at Nickelback. Clark Phillips has been slow by this. Now rib injury. It's a rib injury.
Yeah, because I just knew he had been banged up. And it sucks from the standpoint of it may not give him an opportunity to make this team, seriously.
Sorry to cut you off. No. I'm just reading D-Led's article. Mike, you got a proofread. I'm just reading it now, D. But C.J. Henderson will play against the Cowboys.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll get a chance to get a look at him. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, what do you guys think? 404-726-0929 as we break all of this down. Grant's going to help us break down what's going on with Spencer Strider. Can we find out what the problem is and can it be fixed? It's Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Grant, should we start with the good news or the bad news first? I'll let you pick.
Good, but I think...
Go ahead.
I am going to go dealer's choice, but I think I know which one.
Okay. Well, let's start with the bad news then.
I figured.
Okay. Explain to us your thoughts on Spencer and what's going on with him. Why has this been so challenging these last three starts particularly? But it feels like the whole season has been challenging for him. What do you think is going on?
Yeah, and we've talked about this some, about how this year is really, I think it's got to be a springboard for next season as much as anything, especially at this point for him. But you knew missing an entire year with an elbow surgery that you can't expect to come back and just be the guy you were right before the surgery without any speed bumps, without any tests, without any, you know, I don't want to say physical setbacks, but, you know, knock on wood, you don't want to deal with those. But the hamstring right out of the gate was also something that he had to, I guess, get over. But really what I've seen, especially lately, is that the velocity for him has been at his highest average fastball velocity of any starts at any point this year. And he'd gotten in that really nice run for about a month and a half of seeming like he was getting those results. But this last few outings, especially these last three, have just been baffling in a lot of ways. And I think Spencer, if you listen to his comments after yesterday's game, has been likewise a bit frustrated, certainly, but also in a search for answers as to why exactly his pitches aren't competing the way that he needs them to. I think that the one thing I took away more than anything was that physically, to do the things that he was able to do before, he's going to have to continue, I think, the process of getting these reps. And he also, I think, needs the offseason to build more strength so that that platform for being the guy that we expect to see, the guy who can sit in the high 90s with a fastball that not just gets over the plate, but if you remember with Strider, like, that thing had life and it rose when it got to the plate. And that's what made his slider so impressive. But even the slider, which is an elite put-away pitch, that's not getting the results he needs either. He's made some mistakes with it. They've been punished. He came into this season having allowed 7 home runs in his career off his slider. He has now allowed 7 home runs off his slider just this season. So something's not quite right on the shape of that pitch, the execution of that pitch. And obviously his fastball has not been the elite level it was either. I got into some serious StatCast stuff on Sunday on From the Diamond about it, where he used to have an elite fastball in the top 20% of Major League Baseball. He is now under in the bottom 10%. As far as fastball run value is concerned. And what that tells you is it's a pitch that hitters are really, really punishing right now, and he's got to figure out a way to compete with it.
Grant, I was talking about it earlier. It's a long Twitter post from CJ Nitkowski, but he breaks down some of the things you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Body command, Tom Glavine talked about that, not being able to locate the slider. The velo was about 97.2 on average in 2023. It's down now. So a question I brought up to Carl, and I wasn't being a Weisenheimer. I know that everybody's a sacred cow in the organization. No one gets got unless you're the hitting instructor. But is Rick Kranitz the right guy? Has Rick Kranitz been making lemonade out of lemons all these years? Or is it maybe time for another approach with all the pitchers?
No, I don't really think it's that, because the biggest thing that the Braves, on the whole, and something that I would point to and say, where can Rick Kranitz help? Well, you need to have as much of the staff out there and healthy as possible. And unfortunately, in today's baseball, there's just no way to get away from the fact that arm injuries are going to happen. Because when you chase velocity, and Spencer Strider has talked about this, I don't know if we got enough time to get into a lot of his thoughts about, you know, where exactly he stands on all of this, because clearly he's a hard-throwing pitcher with a, you know, high RPM slider who is kind of the quintessential strikeout pitcher of this generation, and was the best strikeout pitcher in all of baseball not long ago. But to get back to your question, like, I don't think it's not a coaching thing, and I don't know that there's really anything that anybody outside of Spencer Strider can specifically do for him right now. The Chris Sale flukish injury, the Schwellenbach fluky injury, you know, weird things that you just can't plan for, 5 starting pitchers on the 60-day IL. I mean, you can't necessarily judge Rick Kranitz on the performance of guys who can't seem to be healthy enough to get out there every 5th day. I think it's just individually Strider's kind of on a road that he has to travel himself, and it's going to be some tough miles. I think that he's come further than people may realize, but this competition of, you know, getting these pitches back to the level that he expects, I think it's just going to take some time. And that's just, it's not a fun process. It's not fun to watch. It's certainly not fun to serve up home runs, because this has been a very un-Spencer Strider-like performance, the last 3 outings in particular. I don't think it's going to continue just with no end in sight, and he's never going to find his way back. But he's definitely in the valley right now with some of the things I'm sure CJ talked about. I heard Tom Glavine talking on the broadcast yesterday and basically saying, hey, I didn't throw as hard as he did, so I don't have some of the problems he has. But I understand what he's going through, and it's not easy to sort it out and make these adjustments in season. I think it's just going to take time. And again, that may not be the answer anybody's looking for, but I do think that there is an awful lot of talent still there in the right arm of Spencer Strider. It's just going to be how he approaches it to get the max results from what he's got.
It is Grant McCauley, guys, talking with us about the Braves. And look, that's the bad news. The good news is Michael Money Harris and this turnaround is not miraculous, because we knew he was capable. But I will tell you, it was somewhat unexpected. I think we figured he would hit. But, Grant, I did not think he would hit like this after the All-Star break, and now you're talking about the turnaround for the second half of the season for Michael Money Harris.
Yeah, and how about, you know, being one of the top 3 hitters in Major League Baseball over the last month after being not even arguably, but statistically, one of the probably 5 worst everyday players in Major League Baseball in the first half. It has been a wild swing in the other direction. And I got to talk at length with Michael yesterday before the game, kind of like what the impetus was for the stance change. And he said, look, I mean, I worked and worked and worked, and I tried everything else. And the stance I was using, it wasn't just easy to drop, because it had given me really good results over the past 3 years. But it was just time to try something different. And interestingly enough, he said he had conversations with various guys, obviously works with Tim Hyers and the Braves hitting coach side of things, and also a conversation with Chipper Jones. And I think that kind of led to getting a little bit of the feedback that he needed to just go out there and try something to get himself back and comfortable again in the box. And he was. He opened his stance slightly. He's obviously raised his hands. And he said, I believe what Chipper told him was that it's easier to swing down to drive the ball up than it is to swing up and drive the ball out, basically. So correcting his swing. And that may seem like a really quizzical way of looking at it, but it makes sense when you think about the force and the velocity and what you need in able to be able to square the ball up more. And Michael Harris is squaring the ball up with great regularity now. I believe I looked at the StatCast leaders for yesterday in all of Major League Baseball. He either had the hardest hit ball or the second hardest hit ball of the entire league yesterday. That's not a list we were seeing him on too terribly often over the first 3 months. So I like what I'm seeing. I think that he's made those adjustments. He's got some confidence flowing again. That's meaningful. I think everybody can understand how much easier it is to do your job when you're feeling confident about it. And it's just great to see this, because what he's done in no small amount of time now, we're talking about just over a month since right before the second half began, to raise his batting average. I believe at this point it's up over 260, so 55, nearly 60 points in 31 games. That is a heck of a ride for Michael Harris, and I think everybody's glad to see it.
No doubt. We'll see what they do tonight. And look, we're continuing to watch this journey closely and see the evaluation of a lot of these guys. I've just been saying progress, man. I want to see progress. Money yep. Harris has given us that. There's no debating it. Grant, great job, man. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to it.
Yeah, man. And look, the Spencer thing, it's easy to point to one thing. That's why that article you're referring to, there's a multitude of things when you're struggling like this. Some of it's physical. Some of it's mental. But it's not like, oh, Dukes and Bell, he needs to do one thing and, you know, turn his hand and it'll fix it. Not pitching like this.
Right. And the reason I brought up Kranitz, and again, it's amazing the things that get people fired up here on social media, is, yes, you could argue that every year that Snicker's been manager, he's never had enough pitching. And Kranitz, in part, has to massage it since he got here in 2019
sure.
to get the most out of it. Even the year we won the World Series, we still didn't have enough arms. This year, everybody got hurt. Literally, everybody got hurt.
Every starter.
But now moving forward, if we're not going to invest in starting pitching through free agency or trade for some, and we don't have much stock to trade in the first place, then how is he going to handle the young arms? And that's why I was putting it out there. You know, whether it's going to be moving forward with Hurston Waldrop, Fuentes, Richie, all the guys apparently going to be coming up next year. Just asking the question, is there no way to perhaps change the approach across the board? You know me, brother, I think we've kind of plateaued here. I would try something new. And the first thing you got to do is starts with the front office. You got to get more pitching in here because you haven't had enough. You're lucky to win a World Series 1 year, Carl, but now it's come back to bite us the last 3-4.
Yeah, and look, you're not trying to – the other part of this with AA and the front office and Alex Anthopoulos, our general manager, you're not trying to subtract so many pieces that you have to replace all of this. You want Spencer Strider fixed.
Right.
Because it's something you don't have to worry
about.
And
it may just be that Grant said it. May be with this injury, it was a choice, Tommy John or the other process. With the other process, and maybe that takes as long as Tommy John for him.
Yeah. I just, you don't want to say, hey, let's subtract this, 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 and this. And now you've got three more things to worry about, which is why Mike was, a little suspect when I said, hey, if he can't fix himself, move him to the bullpen and let him be a closer. But to that point, you now still need to address starting pitching even more so.
Right.
I just don't know how many of these guys I trust coming back. Well, that's
right.
My problem.
Well, that's just it. You're going to roll. Grant Holmes probably won't come back. Schwellenbach's coming off an injury. The one guy I trust is Sale, because that was just an aberration. That was a crazy freak sure. incident with the ribs.
Sure.
But then you get, as I mentioned, all the other young guys. Look, Hurston Waldrop looks great. I mean, he's been fantastic, and that's exciting. Braves fans will be excited about that. But you're still coming up short. You know, you can't count on the young guys, because the young guys have never thrown that many innings, which you get into that stupid Steven Strasburg, conundrum, right, where you got to start shutting them down late. So let's go invest in, what would you do, Mike? I don't know. Three starting, again, Ronaldo Lopez. Who knows what he's going to be, right?
You can't trust
him. So just go get three starting pitchers. Go get, spend the money. Spend the money. Hope that Profar catches fire from the jump. You'll have a couple of guys to, you got a DH. Azuna will be gone. But certainly you like what you got with Baldwin. Murphy's not going anywhere. Olsen, Ozzie, they're not going to spend to get a replacement for him. Are they going to spend to get better at shortstop? Probably won't do that either.
No, not if you're going to pitch. If you're going to go after these pitchers like
right.
that,
so there you go again.
No, you, Mike, you're not going to pay every position top dollar if you're going to go pay for three right. potential top arms. 404-726-0929. We'll see a lot of decisions to be made, but when we come back, a lot of decisions have already been made in the NFL. teams naming their starting quarterbacks, and one team is not quite ready to do it yet. It's Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
What's going on around the NFL? Big news. We'll fill you in just a sec. But want to remind you guys, cut down day is what every pro football team dreads. But this year, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game celebrating cut down day, giving you a chance to enjoy your yard in style. On August 27th, 4 o'clock, when the pro football cut down deadline hits, we're giving away one lucky listener is going to win a Rolex Real Mower. And it's your chance to win the ultimate tool to cut down your yard in style. For contest rules and to enter, go to visit 92.9 The Game. Guys, there's still time, but you need to get on it. Mike, a few things we've learned already today. And guys, this is that time of year. You're getting to the third preseason game. You know some things about your team. There are some quarterback battles that are going on around the league. And today we found out that the Colts and Browns have named their starter. I think we knew with the Browns, right, that this was probably going to happen. I think Flacco was named yesterday.
Right.
The Colts, though, and you just said something to me, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I thought it was for a game.
No, again, this is according to ESPN.com. Coach Shane Steichen, addressing the media up in Indianapolis, electing, as you mentioned, that Daniel Jones will be the starting quarterback. He goes, I think the guys have taken to him. He's a great communicator. Mm. You can see the veteran presence out there. So I'm excited for that. And everybody doesn't remember, Anthony Richardson actually quit. Needed a blow. Needed to take a tap out during a game. Came out for a timeout, which freaked everybody out. And then he was summarily benched a week later. Asked if this was intended to be a permanent move, Steichen says of Daniel Jones, quote, he's our starting quarterback for the season. I don't want to have a quick leash on that. I feel confident in his abilities.
Mike, did they blow this Anthony Richardson pick?
Yes, sir. Or just yelled, yes, sir. He needed to stay in college. You know, he's only got 348 snaps in the pros. Aiden O'Connell and Will Levis have more snaps in the NFL than Anthony Richardson. And he had a lack of experience coming out of college. And again, when you ask to come out of the game as a starting quarterback, you know, a wide receiver can do that if he's running an out pattern. He's just run 50 yards. Quarterback's got to stay in the game. The fact that he didn't know that, to me, he said everything. I was trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, but it's kind of like, wow, this young man doesn't get it. And then you lost some of the locker room that was reported. That's why they benched him the following week. So there's a lot of maturity. There's a lot of inability to see things. It was a basic play. The running back's going to release. You're going to hit him. He doesn't even look to the right side of the field. He gets clobbered by a linebacker, which jacks up his pinky. You know, that was his first the first series this year in preseason. So it just gets worse for the young man.
Yeah, that when you said the season, because I thought, okay, you're getting this prepared for the first game, and then depending on how Jones plays and Anthony comes along, you'll go ahead and start him again. That does not sound like that's the case. And if you're Anthony Richardson, by the way, you can sit there, Mike, and pout, or you can say, I want out.
Well,
and that's the other part.
Well,
of this.
There's no market for you going anywhere.
Well, look, you say that, but that's exactly right. There's always going to be something that transpires where you go, hey, and he's young enough where teams will take a chance and athletic enough.
I mean, he's certainly got more reps than Trey Lance had, but I mean, Trey Lance is the where is he now category. In the case of Richardson, because of that cannon for an arm and that he runs like a gazelle, yes, the old joke about the crazy girlfriend, I can fix him. Some general manager, some coach may say that. You're right. But he says, by the way, he's still learning, still growing. This is Steichen talking about Richardson. For the first time in his career, opportunity for him to sit at the start of the season and learning in a different light and attack it right way. So we'll see.
I also think this is coming from the GM. He alluded to this, Mike, before camp started and basically wanted to tell everybody, you guys go see this for yourself. And it's this goes back to, I think they were telling us. He said there's nothing wrong with quarterbacks sitting and learning. And everybody's like, really? And I think it was a precursor to them saying Daniel Jones is going to be our guy. He just needs to come in and play like it. But I feel like this is from the general manager as well. Meanwhile, there is a team that's not ready to name their starter yet. The Saints. They're not ready to name their starter, Mike.
Yep. Kellen Moore, remember, he's the head coach now. Kellen Moore telling reporters Tuesday, bet you that practice facility smells musty. But anyway, that's me, Carl. He says that it's going to be Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shuck have started both the first two preseason games. Moore says he could not give any indication of where things stand. It's really, really close, said Kellen Moore.
Yeah, okay.
Day-Day is shaking his head.
Whatever. Spencer Rattler.
And Tyler Shuck.
And Tyler Shuck. Come on.
I mean, now, again, like here's the thing. They beat us.
They're not going to beat us, Mike.
Once, let alone twice this year. Somebody's going to have that on tape.
Those guys are not beating us, Mike.
Right.
They're not outplaying Michael Penix.
Right.
Well, you don't sound confident.
Well, the Saints, even years when they're supposed to suck, they still steal one from us.
Look,
you know how it goes in this rivalry.
That was Sean Payton. Who's right. the damn running back that got hurt?
Mike Missouri Bell. Show me.
Who's that damn running back that got hurt that we never had a chance? We never stopped him. Who's the guy?
What?
The Swiss Army knife for the Saints.
Oh, Kamara. Alvin Kamara?
No. The other guy that plays quarterback, running back.
Oh, you're talking about white boy.
Taysom Hill.
White boy Rick.
He's hurt. He's out. They have no shot without this guy.
Taysom Hill did beat us.
He beat us.
You know, he swept us.
He
swept us 1 year throwing the football.
Well, the crazy thing is, it was like, okay, guys, he's coming into the game. He's going to run the ball. He's about to run it. And then I'll be damned. He runs it, and we still never stopped it.
We regret that?
Be quiet.
By the way, would you take what? In hindsight, would you have taken that quarterback over Desmond Ritter?
Who?
White boy Rick.
Taysom Hill? Well, here's the deal. Sean Payton knew how to use that dude.
Right. But Taysom Hill, I mean, even when Payton leaves, found a way to beat us.
Yeah, but that's a different element and a better coach. Kellen Moore, I don't think he's there. And they don't have a quarterback right now.
Yeah, Dana just said he snagged Taysom Hill off the waiver wire, got him to a championship 1 year.
All right. So the Saints are still trying to figure out. Hi, Saints fans.
Saints are still looking. You mentioned Flacco. That laugh never gets old.
By the way, it's the truth. Hey, by the way, a Saints fan literally just said, we should trade for Anthony Richardson. See?
There you go. Yeah, because he's so ready to go.
They don't even trust the guy they have.
I mean, it's like, and by the way, I got nothing against Richardson. I'm just saying, if you don't understand what has happened up there in Indianapolis, it's been a mess.
It's a mess.
You know? But again, if you're not into like the personal responsibility thing, then okay, then yeah, he'll get another chance somewhere else. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But I mean, their opportunities to grab the brass ring. They thought they got the new Mike Vick. He spit the bit, man. Now, here's the thing, though. Now, if Daniel Jones gets benched, it might be Anthony Richardson when we're in Berlin when the Falcons take on the Colts.
I don't want that, Mike. I'd rather have Daniel Jones. He's limited to me.
You and Mrs. Jones. Mr. Jones in this game.
Because Anthony Richardson will come into that game, and he'll have something to prove, and he'll be running all over the damn field, and we'll be missing tackles. Mike, you know how this goes. You know how this goes. I don't want to see Richardson in that game.
By the way,
if it happens, let it happen before we play them.
Got a great line from UGA Matt, who's listening to us. It says, Kellen Moore is the best quarterback New Orleans has right now.
He's right. He might as well start
for him. That's kind of like the tweet of the day right there, pal.
He's right.
I like it.
Saints fans, boy, I feel for you. Not really. 404-726-0929. other things around the NFL, guys, that are going on as we get ready for our final preseason game. And it's the Cowboys. But speaking of dogs, Andrew Thomas passes physical. He returned to practice for the Giants. And around the NFL, Mike, there are a bunch of injuries. Mac Jones. Who?
Mac Jones right.
Apparently for the 49ers. And this is coming out that he's going to miss their final preseason game Saturday against the Chargers due to a knee sprain. That's Kyle Shanahan saying that. Team believes Jones should be ready for week one of the regular season. But we know who the quarterback is there because they paid him a lot of money and $60 million.
Right. And we were talking more earlier in the show. Guys, just hit us up on the text line. What about Darnell Mooney? From yesterday's practice notes from our buddy Mark Ramondi from ESPN.com. Mooney, at least yesterday, was in street clothes. And so he was not ready to go just yet. Doesn't seem to be a ton of concern about him missing significant time. But when is he hasn't practiced, though.
What's significant time?
I mean, are we talking like, so that means he's going to miss some of September? But that's not significant?
I don't like it.
Pretty significant when I'm trying to win a division game against the Bucks. I need my number two, WR2, out there doing his thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Danny, did you just post this thing I saw on Michael Penix? Is that us? What is that?
Yeah, that's us. That's just what we talked about. Just, how his college career, you know.
Right. I just want to make sure you were not
saying triggering.
Hot take,
I don't want you
tweet.
Triggering somebody.
Yes, I just wanted to make sure.
It was Day-Day earlier in the show. It's like,
we're going to get a drop, and every time y'all say something, hot take, tweet.
And I said,
Dukes and Bell.
If you missed it, Day-Day was going to put it out there. Day-Day asked, would you draft Pitts? I go, no, man. I go, Pitts, that's the guy when you go grab a fresh brew or you hit the bathroom and your fantasy's on auto draft. And he goes, just saying, he goes like the 13th or 14th pick.
Hot take tweet.
Yes, exactly.
Bell says Kyle Pitts.
And I hope Kyle Pitts changes that narrative. Day-Day, I hope he changes that narrative.
You know what?
And he will be one of the top five wide receivers in the league.
You're going to
tight end.
You're going to regret not taking Pitts earlier.
You wouldn't draft when you okay, smart guy. Okay, all right, Mr. Perry frickin' Mason today up at Cobb Traffic Court.
Dismissed.
Where are you going to draft Pitts in your fantasy
draft? Did I tell you I got it dismissed? I walked up and the prosecutor said, dismissed.
Right.
All right. What were you asking me about?
No, I'm saying Perry Mason over here. Where would you draft Pitts? You wouldn't. You would not be the first tight end unless you forgot to draft a tight end.
He's thinking right now. That's why he's got to answer right away.
No, he's thinking. No, I'm not. You're asking me where I would pick Pitts.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you're asking.
That's what I'm asking you.
You're asking me.
You tell me.
You answer me.
You tell me.
You answer me. Let me tell you where I'd pick Pitts.
You answer me.
You know where I'd pick KP?
Where would you take KP?
I'm glad you asked me this question.
You answer me.
No answer to this question.
I would take Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
In my fantasy draft.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take him.
Yeah, see, there you go. Come on, man. It's the truth. It's the truth.
You asked.
Right. Hey, man. By the way.
You answer me.
I've been doing all these mock drafts. By the way, if you are on a draft and it's not here in Atlanta and maybe it's a nationwide draft, you'll get Drake London at 10 or 11. Because nobody knows what we got.
Oh, so you're taking Drake London higher.
I've been taking Drake London at 10 or 11 whole week.
I got him in my keeper league. It's all good. I'm ready for that.
You're all right.
But where's Kyle Pitts in your keeper league?
Sorry? You asking me about KP? You asking me about Pitts?
You answer me.
I'll tell you about Pitts. I wouldn't take him that high. I would take him. I would take a shot on him, though. Seriously.
Right.
You guys are underestimating the power of Michael Penix.
He's made an admission.
I'm telling
he's
you.
Made it. He's on the record. He's saying they're going to get. The first thing he said, the first moment of camp, so we got KP the ball. Guys, for those who don't get the joke, and unfortunately, many of you don't, we are having fun, and we hope that Kyle Pitts does ball out.
Yes,
that Kyle Pitts is a 1,000-yard receiver with 10 touchdowns, is the red zone super weapon, and maybe early in the season can maybe fill the void, not athletically, he's a different type of athlete, of what Darnell Mooney produces in that offense.
I didn't play that. Kyle Pitts is auto draft.
No, because it's just like, you know, like a guy maybe really goes, so now you want to fire Kranitz. I'd fire everybody with the Braves. Yes. Bomb. Yes, I would.
Yeah.
I would let Snitker go.
Bomb.
I'd fire Walt Weiss. I'd fire Bomb. Everyone.
You've got a plan Bomb. For all this.
I would change it up.
We'll figure this out tomorrow. Who are you bringing in to manage this team?
Good question, Carl. Right. We'll explore that tomorrow.
We'll talk about it.
The same way you're going to not answer that question about Kyle Pitts.
Well, I answered the question.
I would find somebody.
About Kyle
you
Pitts?
Answer me.
I'd find somebody who works with Bruce Bochy, because that guy knows how to win. That's what I would do. I would raid the Rangers coaching staff. How's that for
okay,
you? Short fair. Answer. Did you put the lamp on me there, Elliot Ness? That's what I'm going with.
All right.
That's unacceptable.
I'm sorry, man. I changed it up.
We got to get out of here. I want to know who you would hire. That's what I want to know. We got to get out of here and clear out, though.
You answer me.
Would you stop it?
Is that what you said to the solicitor today?
Yeah, exactly.
So you turned the tables on him?
Exactly. That's what I
said. And for those who missed it, rewind on the Odyssey app. Carl beats the rap. He was driving while talking on his phone.
I was not, Mike. I was an innocent man.
That's like, what GSP saw.
Like the brother said in front of me when he got called up there, Your Honor. All right, man.
By the way, was he wearing a suit?
No, he was not.
Of course not.
No,
by the way,
he was not.
Like that kid that was at traffic court today, I was there. Don't wear a Megadeth t-shirt to court. You know, find a collared shirt. Just a good piece of advice from Uncle Mike.
I didn't do this, Your Honor. Big shout out to all of our guests today. If you missed any of them, they're online. Mike said it. Odyssey.com. Download any of the interviews. But more importantly, guys, subscribe and you get those updates and you get all of our content at Dukes and Bell 929. All right, tomorrow, another big show. We got something to analyze. You want to be here starting at 2. We got to analyze something. And it's not what you think.
Oh.
Make sure you're here at 2. Day-Day, great job. Executive producing Big O behind the glass. Chris has got you coming up at 6 o'clock. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man. The big storylines around the league, the over-unders, the odds to win the Super Bowl. You know, I heard about State today had a great line talking to Drew Butler about the over-under for Georgia Tech. You know, you and I said, could it be this be the year where they break through with 10 wins? Well, that means that Georgia Tech only loses, hypothetically, to a Clemson and Georgia doesn't lose to anybody else on that schedule. A tough game with Syracuse. You know, you guys, Georgia Tech fans, know what that schedule's like. But at some point, you know, this is the year. I just think Brent Key just dials it in. And I said to Carl off the air, I'll say it on the air, you've got to do something special the last year you got Haynes King under center.
No doubt. So 2007, 8, somewhere around there, John Calipari is at Memphis. John Calipari then gets the job at Kentucky. John Calipari tells me, wait until you see the kid that I have coming to Kentucky. Mm. Because the kid he had at Memphis was a guy named Derrick Rose. And everybody said, this guy's unbelievable. Rose was. But that kid was a guy named John Wall. You might remember him for doing the Dougie. But John Wall was a very incredible, talented player. Today he announced his retirement from the NBA, Mike. 34 years old, 11 seasons. Mm. One season at Kentucky, they went 35-3. And Cal wasn't lying. John Wall was a player, 5-time All-Star. The problem, Mike, too many injuries. Mm. So he never really lived up to the expectation, even though between 14 and 18, he was a All-Star for the NBA. Congratulations, John Wall, on a good career, man. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't.
You were in traffic court, but you weren't as quick on your feet as Carl. If the cell phone holder doesn't fit, you must acquit.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most. Exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.